everyone. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio, the show that gives you the facts about relationships and love. Now, I've been helping individuals and couples improve their relationships for the past 30 years, and today I'm here to give you science-based strategies for your relationships and those of your children. Welcome, welcome, everyone. It's Dr. Terry. Thanks so much for joining me today. I appreciate you. Now, I have a great program for you today. Right now, teenagers live in an environment that can move way too fast, even for them. And their parents are left wondering what teens need from them in order to be successful in life and how real-life conversations with teenagers can occur. My guest today is Kevin Kuczynski. He is a high school counselor and life coach who has been working with teenagers and their parents for over 25 years. He also brings a wealth of private practice experience specializing in adolescent, family, and marital therapy. His new book is called Real Life Conversations: What Teenagers Want Parents to Know. And it brings awareness to the challenges of teenagers growing up today and encourages healthier relationships between parents and their teens. For more information about Kevin Kuczynski or his new book, please go to kevinkuczynski.com, and that's kuczynski.com. So welcome to the program, Kevin. Great to have you with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, I am too. And I have to tell you that one of my favorite topics is about parents and children and how to really improve that relationship. But before we get to your book, Kevin, tell us a little bit more about your background, in particular, the role of a school counselor, because I know you say that school counselors are a gift to both students and parents.
Yes, I've been working with teenagers and parents for 25 years, but most of that is in a school counseling realm. And I feel like the school counselor is really that avenue that can be a line of communication between teenager and parent. And what's interesting is sometimes teenagers will tell a school counselor, such as myself, something that they may not tell their parents, merely because I'm not their parent. So school counselors being that liaison and that communication link to have dialogue take place is really key. And a lot of people see school counselors as those people who deal with scheduling and college applications and that sort of thing, which I certainly do a lot of that. But the opportunity to develop a relationship and a rapport with a student over 4 years allows trust to take place, and therefore conversation about the real issues of life that they may not feel comfortable talking with their parents about.
I love school counselors, by the way, Kevin. I think they're so important. My son, in fact, is in graduate school to be a school counselor. So I really think, as you said, that they are key and an adult in these teenagers' lives that are important and that they can talk to. So what motivated you then, Kevin, to write the book, Real Life Conversations?
Well, probably back in 2015, I wrote a book, Behind the Counselor's Door. And that book was actually encouragement from students who weren't in my part of the alphabet, who I got to know and got to grow with them. But this new book is kind of an offshoot of my first one. And a lot of people who had read the first book, especially parents, they thought it was for them. Mm. And that book was actually written to the teenager. So I really struggled with, you know, how do I best meet the need? I thought the need was more for the teenager, and I've realized it's just as equally important to assist those trying to raise teenagers today. So the book really came really through just dialogue and conversation with readers of the first one. This book has been a long time coming. A lot of conversations with kids and dialogue has taken place to really be a resource for parents to really open their eyes as to what teenagers are looking for from them.
Mm, and as you say, the book brings awareness to what teenagers deal with and also the choices of parents and how those decisions and choices impact their teenagers. But I know you state clearly in the book that you're not pointing the finger at parents or blaming them for doing things wrong, but helping parents understand their teen, right? And I want to make that clear.
So true. I think, you know, sometimes we maybe lose perspective just in the midst of daily living that we're kind of learning as we go as parents. Mm-hmm. And we're going to make mistakes and we're going to have shortcomings along the way and things that we wish we could do over again. But I think it's important that we emphasize that we are better together. And sometimes we try to be so private and personal that we don't become aware of strategies that can really help us better connect with our teenagers. If we have more than one teenager or more than one child, they're all different and they all have different personalities and different makeups. So what you choose to do with one might not work with another. And this isn't about pointing the finger. This is about, hey, how can we do this better? How can we parent more effectively? This is a complicated world we live in, even more so in the last year or so than prior to. So we really have to pool our resources together as professionals and parents to do the best job we can raising our kids in such a complicated world.
Mm-hmm. And it has been complicated and challenging, particularly in the last year. And so let's get into the topic then, Kevin, of what are some of the major challenges that teenagers are experiencing these days? Share with us some of the themes, or I know that you do a lot of sharing of stories and notes, and then you put your insights as a school counselor. I really like that organization, by the way, in the book. Very helpful to us, myself included, as a parent. But what are some of the major challenges then?
The challenges that teenagers face are exponential. Obviously, a lot of it revolves around social media and things of that sort. But I think the thing I'd emphasize the most is the opportunity for a teenager to feel that they can speak openly and honestly with their parent without fear of repercussion for what they say. I can't tell you how many kids I've talked with who have dabbled into drugs, dabbled into alcohol or sex or prescription drugs or even shoplifting to cheating on a test at school, and just not having someone that's a safe place that they feel comfortable with. Not that they couldn't tell their parent, but they are fearful of the backlash associated with the choice that they made. Most people know they make a bad choice, adults included. However, it's the temptation that they can't overcome and in hindsight think otherwise. I think it's really important that as teenagers deal with the challenges of life, like the sex, drugs, alcohol, dating, all kinds of those types of issues, that the communication is of paramount, because if they're not going to you as parents to discuss the difficulties or challenges in life, they are going to somebody else. And you might not approve of the advice, quote unquote, that someone else is giving your teenager. Mm-hmm. So it's important that they feel that you are approachable. And that's something I feel like that is lacking more and more, especially because so much of a teenager's life centers around what happens on social media.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so I can just see listeners who are parents right now sitting and saying, or standing and saying, okay, Kevin, but how do you want me to do that? What should be my reaction when my child comes to me and says, I'm taking drugs, I'm engaging in sex, I'm cheating on an exam, or what kinds of conversations should I be having with them proactively even to help encourage this good, healthy relationship?
It's such a good point. And, you know, when I'm working with students in my office, there's one line that I say over and over again, whether I've known them for a couple of years in high school or whether they're new to me as freshmen. And that line is, I can't help if I don't know. And once again, framing that from the outset, before even a bad choice has been made or something they're dealing with that they don't quite understand, if the mentality and the viewpoint is I can't help if I don't know, it creates a welcoming environment to have that dialogue and conversation. I mean, I have a 19-year-old daughter and a 16-year-old son, and they're both very different and in personality and makeup. So I've got to do things differently to correspond and to communicate with them. So I think if a teenager knows that there's this open door policy, that's the great start. That's a great place to begin. But when the chips are down and when that dialogue happens, you get one shot as a parent. You've got to put your judgment aside and be willing to have that conversation free from repercussions. I think that's why a lot of kids tell school counselors and teachers things that they don't tell their parents. It's because it's someone outside the family and it's somebody that they can get a compassionate listening ear to help them process their circumstances.
And when you say repercussions, Kevin, are you saying judgment or are you saying, you know, that you can't be grounded?
It depends on the circumstance. I know there are a lot of circumstances that teenagers deal with that are of not their choosing. For example, one that comes up common is alcohol that I deal with a lot. An example is parents will tell their kids don't drink, but they're doing it at home all the time. And they see their parent quote unquote tipsy. Teenagers have a difficult time processing truth in words when action doesn't match it. And that's that dialogue and that communication that needs to take place. You can get into just not just morally, but, you know, brain development to the impact of alcohol and use and things of that sort. So I think part of it is parents being concerned about how their parents will look at them in certain situations. But more so, I think it's about parents hearing firsthand what their teenager, how their teenager sees them and what they think. And sometimes that's not easy for parents to hear. So the repercussion piece comes in is, how dare you say that about me? You know, Susie, I'm not okay with that. Well, that just shuts a teenager down and they'll talk to somebody else instead of to you as a parent.
And I think also it's important for listeners to understand that communication, as you said, or as I think you implied, can come in many different ways. I can have verbal conversations with you and talk to you, but I can also show through my actions, through my role modeling, because kids are watching us, as you said. They're observing what we do, how we act, how we treat others.
Absolutely.
And we want to be consistent with our words and our actions. But I have to tell you that, you know, study after study show that kids are observing our actions as parents. And that can be even more important than the conversations or what we say to them.
So true. So true. Those actions and the words, they've got to match up. You know, in fact, at the end of each chapter in the book, I give parents 5 questions to have with their teenager, just to have that dialogue, that communication. And, you know, sometimes that's not easy to have. But I think if you just have it in conversation, as opposed to when a circumstance or a crisis arises, you know, you can learn a lot of different things about yourself as a parent and about your teenager. You know, for example, one question is how did your upbringing or how your parents raised you impact how you parent your teenagers today.
And it's these are questions for parents to ask themselves.
Yes. So some of them are for parents to ask themselves. Some of them are for parents to interact with their teenager about and say, hey, what do you think? For example, what do you need more from me that I'm not providing right now? Mm. I can't help if I don't know. Mm-hmm. So it's really an opportunity to say, hey, I'm here. I'm your parent. I'm available. And we're both on the same team. You know, mm-hmm. I want to see your dreams become reality. But if the dialogue or the apprehension to have those conversations fall short, well, then honestly, both parent and teenager lose. And I think it's important that we ask those difficult questions. And every teenager is different, where one you might talk about, you know, alcohol when they're, you know, 12, another one it might not happen until they're 15, 16, just depending upon where they're at developmentally. So it's an interesting road for parents to walk, because every teenager is different, that's for sure.
Absolutely. And I also heard you with that question of telling your teen, what can I do differently, or what haven't I given you that you want? It also shows kids, teenagers, that parents aren't perfect and that we do make mistakes. So let's have a dialogue about how I can change as well. And I think that's important, don't you, Kevin, to show or tell our teenagers?
You know, the reality is that we're all trying to do better and be better in the midst of a world that seemingly wants to either A, pull people down or pull people apart. And I think honesty lends credibility to what we have to tell our kids, and honestly, what our kids have to tell us. And too often we try to present the best image of ourselves so that our teenager thinks highly of us. And sometimes we forget that, you know what, being real is important too. And if you've had a bad day at work or you're struggling with the demands of, I don't know, housework, what have you, I think they need to see us as real people and not as a parent who's on a pedestal that only can be perceived as someone who's wonderful and amazing, because that's not authentic. Right. We all serve a role. We all have value, and we're better together as family or parent-teenager.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, the most memorable experience or memory in general that I have in my childhood, Kevin, is when my father cried in front mm-hmm. of me and my sister and my brother. And he showed vulnerability. He showed sadness. And that was so important to me, to see him as a real person. I've talked about that with my father so many times, that was so real, as you say, that showed that he is a real person. And so I want parents to hear what you say and what I really felt and experienced, and how it changed the relationship with my father as well. And so, Kevin, give us some more examples as well about some questions that parents could ask their teens to help promote and encourage those open conversations with their teens and promote that healthy relationship.
And there's, you know, countless questions, and a lot of the questions that are provided in the book stem from the 58 stories of real kids that are included throughout it. One of them is, how can parents teach teenagers to take responsibility for their choices? It gives teenagers an opportunity to share, to give perspective, to give insight. And then there's one that goes the other way. You know, why do parents take their frustration out on their kids when they...
And these are questions, by the way, Kevin, that I, as a parent, should ask my teenager. Is that correct?
Yes. Some of them are. It's going to depend on the relationship that you have with your particular teenager. The beauty of the book is some of them can be reflective. For example, why is it so hard for adults in general to be consistent role models for teenagers? As a parent, that's a great reflective question. You don't have to have your teenager there to discuss that. You can come to that conclusion on your own. You know, another one is, do I as a parent take responsibility for my choices? How does my teenager see that? So you can tell there are questions, you know, that really hit home to the parent, and you have to be you have to open the book and read it as a way of saying, this isn't about what I've done wrong. This is about me as a parent wanting to learn how I can do it better. Mm-hmm. And despite the flaws that we all have, including myself as a parent, are you going to get frustrated as a parent? Are you going to get upset? Sure you are. And your humanness, that we're people, you know, we're gonna mess up. But as an adult, as a parent, once again, can you be the bigger person, come back to that teenager and say, you know what, you know, I was out of line there. You know, most parents either A, can't do that, or B, don't want to. Right. And the reason is because they don't want it to impact the image that a teenager has of their parent. And I don't want my kids, my teenagers, to have an impression of who I am. I want them to have an accurate impression of who I am. You mentioned the crying piece with your dad. Mm-hmm. You know, crying is just an outward expression of an inward emotion. Well, sometimes we see crying as bad or wrong, but what a great way to communicate through emotion how you as a parent are feeling. So it's really an opportunity to learn from the choices of these kids in the book and their experiences and what they've dealt with to grow as a parent in working with your own kids.
And now I know that there are 58 stories of children in the book, as you just mentioned.
Yep.
Where did these stories come from?
These stories are stories of teenagers that I've worked with in some capacity, altering the story to certainly protect their confidentiality, because that's what matters most to me. But I think it's important for parents to realize that the stories in the book are real kids who express honest, heartfelt feelings, from drug use and dating to divorce, to kids who thought I would vape and didn't think it would be a big issue and impact me, and now they have zero ability to quit. Mm-hmm. So I think the stories really open our eyes. You know, the book really takes a different approach. We go to a lot of professionals to get their advice as to how I can work with my teenager better. This book does something different. Instead of going to a professional, it goes to the teenager and basically asking one question. What do you need from your parent in order to be more successful in life? Mm-hmm. And while it's not easy to ask, it's not a finality. It's a process of growth for both the parent and the teenager to as I say, learn from the mistakes of other people to better yourself and grow together to make the dreams of your teenager a reality.
Mm-hmm. And I like that theme, Kevin. It's we do go to professionals to get advice, to use their expertise to help us parent, to help us be a better parent. And now this book goes to the teens. So who do you want to read this book? All parents, parents of teens?
There's really two. I mean, certainly, you know, professionals can, you know, read it who work with teenagers. But there, I see two main parental groups for it. The first parental group is, hey, I got a teenager right now, and I'm trying to navigate these years of 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th grade. What do I need to be aware of? What are kids dealing with? That's important. Like I talk about, like I said, social media and vaping and those pieces. So first, certainly, one is going to be the parent who's got a teenager right now. But also a key aspect is that parent who's got that son or daughter that's in, you know, fourth, fifth, sixth grade. And the reason it's important is because it opens the eyes of a parent before their child becomes a teenager. So they know through the eyes of real teenagers some of the issues and challenges that their teenager will face as they get older. Mm-hmm. So I feel like if we target those two audiences through the book, ones that got a fourth, fifth, sixth grader and also a current teenager, we've really targeted a group of people who can really impact our society for the better as these kids grow up and be teenagers and young adults in the years to come.
Excellent, Kevin. That's great. So parents, listeners, if you are a parent who has a teenager, or if you have a child who's in fourth or fifth or sixth grade, you can also benefit by this book. And it is a wonderful book. So thank you so much for joining me today, Kevin. What a wonderful book and guide for parents of teenagers and probably tweens. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. And if you're interested in, you know, picking up the book, it's kevinkaczynski.com. And certainly on that website, you can send me an email if you've got a question. Basically, we're all in this together. So I'm certainly here to help in that process. Thank you so much for the time, Terry. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Kevin. And listeners, again, if you're interested in learning more about Kevin Kaczynski or his book called Real Life Conversations, What Teenagers Want Parents to Know, please go to Kevin Kaczynski, KUCZYNSKI.com. As always, thanks for listening. I appreciate you. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio. I'm here to help all your relationships, including the one with yourself, be the best they can be. My personal website is Dr. Terry, thelovedoctor.com, where I provide you with science-based relationship advice that's easy to understand and include in your life. So listeners, until next time, be safe, be healthy, and here's to your happy, healthy relationships.